awesome. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And I just want to read one scripture here that really sums up our mission here at Celebration Church and really what the building at Bay Meadows and 9A is all about, and really what we have been all about for the last 13 years. Do you know that this very day, the date, August 28th, this is our birthday here at Celebration. We are 13 years old today. Let me read this scripture here, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to talk to you about God's heart for people today, and I have entitled this message, Driven to Distraction. Driven to Distraction. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray for these next 25 minutes or so. God, give us a hungry heart. Lord, let our hearts be fertile ground so that your word can take root in our hearts and produce the life and the transformation that you want it to do. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You know, in the latest global statistics, they say now that the population of the earth is 7 billion people. 7 billion people. How many of you know that's a lot of people? It's a lot of people living, breathing, alive, eating, a lot of people, 7 billion people. And those statistics also say that of those 7 billion people, about 2 billion of those people claim to be Christians. And of course, you know, we know, many of us that are followers of Christ, we know that not everyone who just claims to be a Christian is truly a Christian. In fact, many people are what you would call nominal Christians. They say, well, this is my religion, you know, I'm this, or I'm, you know, Presbyterian, Methodist, or, you know, Pentecostal, whatever. They say that, but they haven't had a real relationship with Christ. So maybe out of those 2 billion, really there are only 1 billion, maybe half of that, I don't know, are truly followers of Christ. But let's just use those statistics, 2 billion people say that they're Christians. Let's just use that number. What that means is that there are 5 billion people, 5 billion out of the 7 billion that are not followers of Christ, that don't have a relationship with God, that are far from God, that are gonna spend an eternity without God unless they're reached. 5 billion people. I want you to think about that. I want to paint a picture for you about how many people that is. 5 billion people. If you were to line those people up, those people which the Bible would call lost, those people that are far from God, those people that do not have eternal life, if you were to line those people up in a line one by one, that line, if you started it right here in Jacksonville, Florida, that line would go all the way across the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, to Europe. But it wouldn't stop there. It would keep going to China. I mean, people in a line, one by one, just like this. But it wouldn't stop at China. In fact, it would keep going past China, and it would circle the entire globe until it winded right back up here at Jacksonville. But it wouldn't just be one time around the entire earth. It would go two times. But not two times. It would really go a lot more than that. It would go 10 times. 10 times around the world, a line of lost people circling the earth 10 times. But it wouldn't just be 10 times. It'd be 20 times, 25 times, 30 times. 34 lines around the earth. That is how many lost people there are right now, people far from God without a relationship with Christ, people that God loves, people that Jesus died for. If you line those people up right now, it would create a line that goes 34 times around the entire globe. Think about that. What do you think God thinks about that? What do you think God, like right now while we're, you know, all here, worshiping God, and what do you think God's like in heaven right now? As he looks down on the earth that he created, as he looks down on his children, all 7 billion, listen, the children of the world, it's not sheep and goats. Listen, we're all God's children. It's either lost sheep or found sheep. He's looking down and he's got 2 billion kids that are found that are okay if we just go with the statistics. But there's 5 billion kids, 5 billion of God's children that are lost. What do you think God thinks about that? What do you think that does to God's heart? I'll tell you what I think. I think it breaks his heart. Because Jesus said the very mission, Jesus said, look, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. The very mission of Christ, Christ's heart is towards, not only is towards seeking and saving that which is lost. And I think a lot of times in the church, you know, we think about that scripture and like, yeah, we're supposed to save the lost. But notice it just doesn't say save the lost. It says seek and save the lost. In other words, there has to be something in our daily lives that is producing a focus where we are constantly seeking out those people that make up a line that goes 34 times around the earth that do not have a relationship with Christ. And if they died right now, they would spend an eternity apart from God. There's a seeking. The reason that people are saved is because they are salt. There's got to be this focus, this something on the inside of us that directs our attention towards those lost people, that lines us up with Jesus's heart to seek and to save the lost. Every single person is important to God. Every single person. And think about all those people that are lost that God wants to bring home into his family. You know, have you ever lost something of value? I mean, think about it like when you lose, how many of you just lose stuff? You know what I'm saying? I lose stuff all the time. In fact, I lose my keys all the time. And I'm one of these guys, Carrie gets so mad at me because I'm one of these guys, if I lose something, like if I lose my keys, if I look in the place where my keys are supposed to be, and that's why something is lost, because it's not in its place. That's why people are lost, because they are not in their right place in a relationship with God. But when I don't have something in its place, what I'll do, I mean, like my keys are supposed to be in this drawer. I'll pull out open the drawer. If I don't see my keys right there, I'm like, my keys are lost. My keys are lost. And I kind of go into a panic, and Carrie gets mad at me because she's like, look, your keys are not lost yet. She's always showing something. You can't go into a panic yet. Have you looked where they're supposed to be? I said, yeah, I looked in the drawer. She said, let me see this. And she'll come to the drawer and she'll open the drawer and she'll like pull back like one piece of paper. And there's my keys right there. She's like, you are driving me nuts. All right, here's something new. Now, this has only happened in the last couple of years. I've started losing my car. Like I forget where I'm parked. Anybody? I don't know if that's something like when you turn 40. I would always remember where I parked. But now, like especially the town center, I'll go park somewhere. Then you walk around, you're going down this street and into this shop. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I lost my car. I will be convinced that I parked in one parking lot. I will go walking around that parking lot only to realize I didn't even park in that lot. And I can't even remember what lot I parked in. So if you see me like in a parking lot somewhere, just like walking around, listen, why don't you come help me? I lost my car the other day. I was walking in the parking lot. Everybody was like, hey, Pastor. Hey, Pastor. I was like, why don't you help me? But have you ever noticed when you've lost something, how distracted you are? In other words, when you lose something of value, it just creates this distraction. Like all you can think about is finding that thing. It's like everything else around you kind of blurs out. And you're just focused on finding that thing which you've lost. And of course, it could be something more serious than a car or keys. You know, maybe you've taken your kids to Disney World or the mall or something like that. And for a second, you thought you lost a child. And if you've ever experienced that, do you remember the panic? Do you remember how, oh my God, you couldn't think about anything else but finding your child, which is so valuable to you? All of God's children All 7 billion people in the world are so valuable to him. I remember one time, I've shared this before, when I thought that we had lost Stovey. We couldn't find him anywhere. We thought he had wandered out of the house, and lo and behold, our bed was made, and somehow he was little then, he was like 3, and somehow he had got under like the sheets, right where the pillows tuck into the bed. I mean, it was unbelievable. We were looking right over it. We couldn't see him. But for a while there, I thought he was lost. And I can remember walking down the street. I can remember searching the neighborhood. I can remember thinking where the pools are and where the ponds are. And I can remember the state that I was in. And I was so consumed and focused on finding Sophie. Can I tell you this? At not one time during my search for my son did I ever stop and say, well, you know what? I got 2 other kids. It's not that bad. You know, I got 2 kids found. I got 1 lost. I'm still like above 500. You know what I'm saying? So I never thought that one time. In fact, I was so focused on finding my son, the only way that anyone could get my attention at that time, including my 2 kids that were okay, is if they helped me, if they joined in my search to find that which was so precious to me. You see, the lost should always distract from that which is found. And Jesus is saying, my mission is to seek and to save the lost. And what God is saying to us is, look, if we want to keep God's attention, we need to make sure that we're plugged into his mission, that we're helping him shorten that line that goes 34 times around the world, that we are dedicated and we remain focused to Jesus and seeking and saving his kids that are lost. Church, let's get distracted. Let's stay distracted. That which is lost distracts from that which is found. Listen to this definition of distracted. Distracted means having the attention diverted. It means rendered incapable of behaving in a normal manner. It means you're unable just to go about your life without having your attention diverted in some way. It's that element of that scripture, seek and save the lost. See, there's a seeking part. There's this part that's distracted. There's always this part of you where your attention is diverted to those children of God who are still far from him and who need to come home. You know, Jesus illustrated this beautifully in Luke chapter 15. He gave 3 parables. I'm sorry, he gave 1 parable with 3 sides. A lot of people think it was 3 parables. It's not. It's 1 parable with 3 aspects of it. It says in Luke 15, he spoke a parable unto them. And he gives 3 sides of this parable. He talks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. It's a beautiful picture of the Trinity and the heart of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He starts off, he says, you know, a shepherd, a good shepherd, even though he has 99 sheep that are found, if one strays, he will leave the 99 and he'll go, he'll seek, he'll search out, he'll go out. In other words, he's distracted. Why? He knows the 99 are okay. Listen, if you've received Jesus Christ, man, thank God you're going to heaven. You're going to spend eternity with God. You understand that your life here on earth is just temporary. You understand all that, but there are still 5 billion people that are lost. They're sheep that God wants to find. Jesus says, if there's just one, I'll leave the 99. They're okay. And I'm going to go seek and find that one. It's the heart of the Son. The next part of that parable, it talks about a lost coin. It talks about how this woman, she loses this coin of value. She will not wait until morning. It's the middle of the night. She's going to turn on lamps. She's going to sweep the place. She is going to look in her entire house in a frantic. If you look at that picture, she's frantic. She's looking around. She's so distracted. The only way that you would get her attention is if you helped her on her search. And she's going to search like that until she finds that coin of value. It's a beautiful type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit, he searches our hearts. He's constantly, he's never sleeping. He's constantly drawing people to Jesus and trying to bring them from darkness into light. And of course, the last part of that parable, you're familiar with. It's the story of the prodigal son. where we see the heart of the Father, how he can't rest and he can't rejoice until that son which was lost is now found. Church, I'm asking you, will you help Jesus? Will you continue to help him seek and save the lost? Can you give God a hand for that today? You know, but unfortunately, one of our challenges is instead of being distracted by that which is lost, we can become too attracted to that which is found. Instead of being distracted by that which is lost, which is what we see in Jesus, we become too attracted to that which is found. And that's one of the challenges of the church today. That's why churches, there's so many churches in decline. And I don't want to speak negative of churches, but it's just the truth. In fact, statistics say in America, in the United States, of all the churches that open and close every year in the United States, it's negative 3,000 a year. That means if 10,000 new churches get started, 13,000 churches shut down. You know why? It's when a church begins to decline, it's because they've lost sight of the mission as to why we are here. I get asked this all the time. Stovall, why is God Blessing Celebration Church? Why do y'all continue to grow in such limited facilities? And you know, what's the key? What's your leadership secret? You know, tell us what's your church growth mystery. I'll tell you, it's not a mystery at all. It's called the Bible. It's called staying true to the mission of Christ. Since day one, we've always been focused on seeking and saving that which was lost. We've always been a church that reaches people, and we will always be a church that reaches people. That's why, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our inadequacies, God has continued to bless this church, and the favor of God is on this church. Why? Because we got God's attention, because we are helping him in his search to seek and save the lost, and we are committed to shortening the line. And when a church forgets that, that's how churches become social clubs. It's how they become political. They lose sight of why they're here. That's how you get churches and they do like turn inward. Listen, when a church goes inward, it's over, man. Inward equals over. Churches get religious and it's like that us for no more. It's like a religious snob zone. And if you don't look like them and dress like them, and you know, it's just all about them, and it's their social club, and it's you know, it's, Lord, keep us happy and keep us fed. Keep us comfy in our beds. Keep us warm and keep us well. All the rest can go straight to hell. Listen, I know there aren't Christians that pray that, but I'll tell you what are our actions saying? What are our actions saying? We want our churches to be, you know, safe and clean, and I mean, we're all that, we're safe and clean and all that kind of stuff as much as we can, but can I tell you this? If you're a church that reaches people, you're gonna have some mess in your church. You have some messy. It's like that scripture that says, you know, when there's no oxen in the barn, it's all clean. It's all nice. When you got oxen in that barn, you're going to have some mess. You're going to have some poop. And I'm proud to say that Celebration Church will always be a church that is full of poop. We reach people, man. That's what Jesus came for, people whose lives are messy. You know the context of Luke 19:10? It's when Zacchaeus gets saved. Remember the tax collector? And the notorious, and he gets saved. And he says, oh man, that's where Jesus says, I've come to seek and save that which is lost. It's when Zacchaeus gets saved and he calls that party and he brings all the notorious sinners. He brings all the gangsters, all the drug addicts, all the prostitutes. He brought all the messy people into his house. And that's where Jesus says, that's where I'm going to be. Can I tell you this? Celebration Church will always be a snob-free zone. We will always be a church. We'll always be a church that reaches people. That's what Bay Meadows and 9A is about. That's what we're about. That's what Jesus is about. And I want to thank you. I want to thank so many of you who get that. Who understand that. I mean, I'm pulling in the lot today. I'm looking at the guys out there in the parking ministry. Man, it's like 100 degrees out there. I mean, they're just sweating and so many people and they're helping. I want to thank all of you who've been serving. You understand that commitment equals inconvenience. Thank you for doing guest services. Thank you for children's ministry. Thank you for all of you who serve. Some of you, I want to thank you just what you go through to attend Celebration Church here at Midtown. Thank you. I mean, the other day I was coming back from ACHS. I was pulling in this in the driveway right here. I'm pulling in the driveway, and all of a sudden this guy, I mean, people are everywhere trying to come in from service, parking in lots all over the place. And all of a sudden this guy he breaks through the bushes. I almost hit him. I like stopped him. He like breaks through the bush. He got like moss on his face. He got like leaves all over him. Just pouring in sweat. And he kind of looks around and he sees the building. And he goes back and he kind of steps into the bushes and I see him. He's like giving the signal. And then his little wife comes out. She's got on high heels like this. They're all caked in mud. And she comes out pouring in sweat. Then I see these kids just barrel out of the bushes, leaves all over them. They're just looking around and he points at the front door. I mean, I don't know where. He's like, come on, we finally made it. And if that was your experience as a first time visitor, I do want to apologize. And Bay Meadows and 9A will help with that. But can I tell you this? When you have a church that reaches people, it's always going to be a little messy. It's always going to be a little, it's not ever going to be convenient. Some of you, you're always going to have to park way far back. Of course, unless you decided to go to Atlantic Coast High right now. But you think about that. Thank you for understanding. Thank you through all the, I mean, how I beg you to go to different campuses. I beg you to, I mean, how many of you have ever been around a pastor who constantly asks you to leave? Listen, I love you. But we understand there's a big picture about shortening the line. Today there's an Atlantic Coast, ton of people at Atlantic Coast. The only reason why there's very few seats but a few available today is because a whole bunch of people, hundreds and hundreds of people, chose to go to Atlantic Coast today. And yes, I bribed them with Krispy Kreme donuts. And yes, for next weekend, I'm bribing you by jumping out of a helicopter, allowing you to dunk the pastors, and giving you free barbecue. However, you know why people really, they understand, you know what, yeah, we need to shorten the line. And there was probably over 50 people just in this room in the 9:30 that had seats only because those people chose to go to ACHS. And those 50 people gave their lives to Jesus and chose to come out of that lost line and being found by God in his saving grace. Come on, can you give God a hand? I want to thank you though. Thank you for getting it. Thank you for giving. Thank you for serving. Thank you for worshiping. Even when you don't feel like it. Thank you, Celebration Church, these last 13 years and all of you who go through so much. Just many times to park and to come to church here. Thank you for that. Thank you for continuing to tithe. even though because of the economy or your stage of life or whatever, maybe you've gone through a season where it's been difficult to you, but you said, you know what? No, it's not about convenience. It's about my commitment. It's about shortening the line. And I know as I continue to tithe and put God first, in God's timing, he's going to bless me. I've got God's attention because I'm helping him find that which is lost. I want to thank you for that. Proverbs 28:19, look what it says here. It says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. So what that also means is where there is a true vision, people are saved. In other words, where there is a true vision, people are saved or people are found. Any true vision from God is always going to involve lost people being found. It's always going to involve those who were perishing being rescued and saved. A God-sized vision requires a Christ-like distraction. A God-sized vision requires a Christ-like distraction. And here's our challenge, and here's kind of where I want to wind up today. Our challenge is this. Look, we have desires, we have wants, we have needs. But unfortunately, instead of being distracted by the lost, we're too attracted to that which is found. And therefore, instead of being focused on what God's focused on, we're constantly consumed with our pain, with our desires, with our wants, and our needs. Now listen, God knows you need those things. God, if you have pain, God is a healer. He wants to heal you from your hurt. God works miracles. He wants to bless you. He wants to do all kind of things in your life. But what he's asking us is, look, let's become more attracted to God and less attracted to the world so we can get distracted by the lost and join God and help him in his search to seek and save the lost. We can help God shorten the line. And God's saying, I'll meet all those things. I'll meet all those needs that you're concerned about. Look at these scriptures here, because we've got to change the way that we think. Look, delight yourself, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you what? Say it. The desires of your heart. God didn't even say needs. It's not like he said, you better delight yourself in me. I'll give you what you need eventually. God's saying, man, I want to give you the desires of your heart. But to do that, I need you to delight yourself also. It doesn't say delight yourself only in the Lord. It says delight yourself also in the Lord. Join me, join my mission. Delight yourself in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. Stop focusing your energy on trying to meet your own desires. Focus your energy on helping God in his mission, and God will say, I'll see to it that those desires are met in a way that only God can do it. Look what it says here, Matthew 6:33, the scripture for our very mission statement of leading people to experience a God-first life. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You notice it doesn't say, don't seek other things. What does it say? Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, I know that you're seeking other things. I know other things are important to you. But I need you to seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his way of doing things. And what? What does it say? And all these things shall be added unto you. What things? All the things in the context of that scripture, in that passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 6, it's all the things that we worry about all the time. We worry about money. We worry about relationships. We worry about all these things. God says, look, I know that you're thinking about all those things. And I know you're seeking those things, but the thing I need you to seek first is my kingdom. And I'll make sure that all of those things are added unto you. You know what? I've studied all in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, and you know what it means? It means all. All of those things. Look at this scripture. Matthew 28:19. Jesus says, go. Everybody say go. It's the go mentality. It's the distraction mentality. It's where you're driven by distraction. Your attention is always diverted to that which is lost, which is valuable to God. He says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Did you see that? God says this, you go, you focus on finding that which is lost. You focus on Jesus. I will make sure that I'm with you always, no matter what. Now, this is not talking about salvation or anything like that. Here's what God's talking about. This is the tangible presence and favor of God. God's saying, if you're involved in my search, helping me search to seek and save that which is lost, listen, you've got my attention and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. People, once again, what's the secret of celebration? Why is there so much favor? I'm telling you, because we're a go church. Because we are committed to seeking and saving that which is lost. That's why Jesus has always been with us no matter what. That's why his favor has always been on this church no matter what. That's why his blessing has always been on this church no matter what. And his blessing and favor is on your life as well. If you'll say, yes, I'm going to help Jesus seek and save that which is lost. I'm committed to that. So here's what God's saying, and here's what we have to constantly have the mindset of. This is how we change the way we think. This is how we take ground. And it's this primary principle for Christian blessing, transformation, and happiness. And that is this. If you want to see ground taken in your life, all those things, all those desires, if you want to see those come to pass, God's saying this. God's saying, you help me take ground, and I'll help you take your ground. You take ground for God, and he'll take ground for you. It's that simple. This will uncomplicate your life. It's the God-first life. It is the simplicity of the scripture. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. He's going to give me the desires of my heart. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm going to focus my energy on that. You know, all these things that I'm worried about, God's going to add them unto me. You know, if I just keep having that go mentality, if I stay distracted on that which is lost, on that which is valuable to God, you know, I know God is always going to be with me, even to the end of that. No matter what, he will always be with me. You commit to taking ground for God. I promise you, he will take ground for you in your personal life and what you're believing God for. And that's what this weekend is all about. You know, you'll pick up, if you haven't picked up your stakes at 3 o'clock, we're going to go out there and we're going to plant those stakes in the ground. I can't wait till you see the footprint of the building. Oh, it is awesome. Well, here's my stake, okay? So on one side, I got a couple of lists here. On one side, it's kind of a general list about the church and all the people that are going to be saved and free and make disciples and all that kind of stuff in the new building. But on the other side, this is Stovall's personal list. And we all have our personal list, don't we? So let me give you a few things off of my personal list here. Okay, so first of all, like my kids. These are specific things that I'm believing God for in my kids' life, in the stage that they're in, and also the future, who they marry and things like that. There's personal things for kids. Some other personal things for our family. Here's one for me. One personally for my health. Many of you know I had a heart surgery a couple of years ago, and everything went great, but what they told me, they said, Stovall, your valve is fine now, but in like 25 years, possibly when you're in your 60s, we might have to replace your heart valve. Oh, no, they're not. I'm believing God. I don't want my valve replaced. I'm believing God. That valve is going to stay supernaturally strong well into my 90s. Hundreds, whatever it is. I mean, I'm not getting a heart valve replacement. That's a personal thing. God's my healer. I got other things here, but you know, some other personal things. I mean, here's an important one. I have LSU winning the national championship. So what you can do is you can put your college football team on there. We'll put our stakes in the ground and we'll see who wins, and therefore we'll know who God likes the best. Listen, y'all can at least agree that LSU needs a move of God after all those arrests and bar fights and all that kind of stuff. But see, we all have our list. We have our desires. We have our things. Delight yourself in the Lord, who gives you desires of your heart. Seek first the kingdom. All these things. We have our list. We have our things. We have our list. But as we take our list and we put that stake of faith in the ground, and we commit to helping God take ground, helping him shorten the line of all of those lost people that goes 34 times around the world. Here's what God's saying. You help me shorten the line, and I'll help you shorten your list. God's saying, you commit to helping me shorten the line, that line that goes 34 times around the earth, people that I love that are lost. You help me shorten that line, I'll help you shorten your list. And as you commit to that, you'll find that all of these things, all of a sudden, check marks are going to start happening. You know why? Because you said yes to Jesus, being part of his mission to seeking and saving the lost. And anyone that says yes to that is going to find God's going to meet all of their needs. God's going to bless them. He's going to give them the desires of their heart. All of these things in God's timing, not your timing. You commit to shortening the line, and God will shorten your list. So how can you do that right now? Stovall, I know that, you know, we're building the building. Obviously, that'll be huge, and you know, we'll shorten the line with that. Well, right now, though, we can continue to shorten the line right now. And for many of you, it's just continuing to be faithful in what you've always done, and you're serving and you're giving and you're inviting people to church and you're understanding about going to ACHS. That's a huge, I want to thank all of you who are doing that every other week or whatever that is. Just by you choosing to go to ACHS, it frees up seats here. It helps us to shorten the line. I want all of us over this next year to have that distraction where we're inviting our friends, our families, our coworkers, where there's got to be a daily distraction of those people at school, at work, friends, family that are lost. I've got to put energy into inviting them to church and bringing them to church. And then also giving financially. I want to thank all of you for being faithful and bringing your tithes and your offerings. But you know what? There's many of you who are not giving. About 50% of our church gives. Can you imagine how we could shorten the line if all of our church gave? Just if all of our church gave today, if everybody just gave something today, do you know how that would immediately translate into us being able to reach more lost people, shorten the line here in Jacksonville, all around the world? What if everybody gave? Not just half of the people today. What if everybody made an effort to invite people to church or to attend ACHS? What if everybody did that? You realize this? What if everybody went over to ACHS? We would free up 1,500 seats right here. We could shorten the line by 1,500 people before we ever even moved in to the new building. Thank you for understanding how important it is for God and how important it is to us, for us to stay in God's favor and his blessing and all that, for us to continue to shorten the line. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. And God, I just pray right now. The first thing I want to pray right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, how many of you would say, if you're honest, you'd say, Stovall, you know what? I think I might be part of that line of lost people that goes 34 times around the world. Maybe you're one of those, you've been more of a nominal Christian, or you've come to church every now and then, or whatever it is. You know God is speaking to you. You're not sure if you died. You're not sure where you would spend eternity. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you, and he died for you. And if you're far from God, God is ready to bring you home right now and give you eternal life. Give you a joy that you can't describe. Let you experience his love. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a real relationship with Jesus Christ. If you say, Stovall, I'm one of those people, I need a fresh start with God. I've been far from God, and I'm ready to come home today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to lift a hand right now. I want you to lift it high. Yes, 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 yes. Raise them high. All around here. Yes, 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 yes. So many hands going up. In the annex, all of our campuses, all of our locations, raise those hands high. Lost people being found right now. You can put those hands down. Church, we've had so many people just in this one service, just in this service here. We've had so many people that were lost and now they're found. And I want to thank all of you for creating an environment for God where Jesus can fulfill his mission. Come on, can you give God a hand for that right now? Here's what I'm going to do. I want to lead us in a prayer right now at all of our locations. If you raised your hand to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, to come home to God today, I want you to repeat this prayer. I want you to mean it with all of your heart. And church, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer as well, and let's just help along those who are praying it, many for the very first time. Just bow your heads and say this prayer at all of our locations. Say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin, and Jesus, I receive your love and your salvation for me. Jesus, you are my Lord and you are my Savior. I thank you that all of my sins, past, present, and future, are totally forgiven. I thank you for eternal life. And I thank you that I'm in a real relationship with you. Lord, I was lost, but now I'm found.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.